Thank you, Pastor Sam. Well, praise the Lord. Let me try again. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor, for the kind invitation. Heard so much about your church from Pastor Dom. And I'm not surprised to sense the hunger here. God is in this place. Can you see a big amen? Amen. Praise God. Had a privilege of meeting your pastor just now. You have a very passionate pastor. Passionate for God and also for the church. Can you see a big hallelujah? Praise God. It's a joy to be here. Can I put this here? Okay. Amen. How many of you are expecting something great from the Lord this retreat? Amen. Praise God. As we hunger after God, as we believe God, I'm sure God is going to bless us. Can you see a big amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, Pastor Dom is here. He has spoken a lot about you. And then we had an agreement. The agreement is I'm going to do the first 10 minutes and he's going to preach the rest of the night. Now, he's a very good friend and spoken very well of you. And he was sharing with me about the progress of a church. I encourage you to continue to grow. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. We thank you your presence is here. We thank you, Lord, for the worship that is here. We pray, oh God, as we listen to your word tonight, that you will speak to us in a very powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready for the word? Yes. All right, turn with me for a little while to the book of Exodus chapter 33. Praise God. Exodus chapter 33. I want to share with you something I believe is very relevant to you and especially to your country at this time and how the church is growing in Hong Kong. Chapter 33, reading verse 1 to verse 2. And then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and all the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angels before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Going all the way down to verse 12, and Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor and grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have indeed found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And then the Lord say, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except if you go with us? So we shall be a separated people, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. And then the Lord said to Moses, I will also do these things that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Now I want to speak for a little while tonight on a subject entitled Sophistication of Spiritual Power. Sophistication of Spiritual Power. The church and society today have become more and more sophisticated. We become more and more sophisticated. First time I came to Hong Kong was around 9 to 10 years ago, and Hong Kong was already very progressive. And when I came yesterday, one day earlier, I realized that things have changed. You become more and more sophisticated. It's the same in Singapore and in Malaysia. You know, when we first started our church 30 years ago, all right, when you pioneer a church, people will accept a church if you got a good pastor there. And then if you got a small little guitar that you can use to play music, you know, people will just be satisfied to be part of that church and then grow together with that church. That's how we started. But nowadays, you know, when people want to start a church, it's not so easy anymore because the congregation demands a different level of sophistication. In the time past, when a person wanted to pioneer a church, they will ask for funds, and we ask them, what is the funds for? And they will say, oh, to buy a guitar or buy a simple sound system. Nowadays, it's different. When you want to start a church, they ask for funds. And when you ask them, what is the funds for? What are they for? And they will say, oh, we need to buy a keyboard. We need to buy a good sound system. You see, why? Because society has become more sophisticated. In a time past, you know, you just get a notepad and write your sermon outline. Nowadays, you know, a lot of people use their iPad, their iPhone, and all kinds of gadget to do their notes. Times have become more sophisticated. Are you with me? Say a big amen. The idea of sophistication is an idea of being more educated. So in other words, when we say sophistication, we are talking about a society that is more educated. It used to be 15 to 20 years ago, education is so easy to quantify and so easy to categorize, you know. You go to university, you be a doctor, you be an engineer, an architect, and things like that. There are some very major courses there. But nowadays, you know, you got so many other new courses, and there is the marrying of different courses. My daughter is in university. When they ask her, what course are you taking? And she mentioned some course. I say, why can't you just be a doctor or an engineer? Or be something, a pediatrician, or be an architect, you know. And why is it that all these courses are all jumbled together, you know, and then all these courses are connected to one another? Everything has become more complicated. You see, it used to be 30 years ago, only some people get to go to universities. Now, there are colleges and universities all over the world, all over the city. In Malaysia, it seems that everybody is going to college. Everybody is going to university. It used to be 30 years ago, you have a few major universities in the city, in the country. Nowadays, you have university practically in every corner of a city. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Universities that are local and universities that are from overseas, they come over and have their local campuses there. It gives the idea of a community that is more educated. Sophistication also gives an idea of a community that is more cultured. Some churches are more cultured than other churches. There is a level of sophistication there. It gives the idea of a society that is more equipped. Simply meaning, if you add them together, it is a society that is more elaborate, complicated, and it is the opposite of being plain and simple. And we are living in that kind of a society. How many of you understand it? Say a big amen. Life is not the same anymore. I came from a family where mom has 11 children. I don't encourage you to try that nowadays. And I'm number 10. And then mom always asked me, why are you only having two? I told her, during your time, mom, when we were born, the moment we are born, we are like little babies sleeping down there and nothing else happened, you know. And we behave ourselves. Nowadays, children, you know, the moment they are born, they are grabbing this and grabbing that. It used to be when you have babies 30, 40 years ago, they are very easy to manage. But nowadays, having children is more sophisticated. Are you with me? Are you still with me? It gives the idea of something that is more complicated, you know. But there is nothing wrong with sophistication. Sophistication is part of growth. It's part of life. Your church is going to be more sophisticated in the days to come. Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, the nations of the world is going to be more sophisticated in the days to come. But the challenge is sophistication is not necessarily power. What the church needs today is more than sophistication. We need power because sophistication can dress us up. Sophistication can give a semblance of power, but it is only the power of God that can change a person's life. It's only the power of God that can set us free. And sometimes just because we are sophisticated, we have a certain level of influence because of our sophistication. And we begin to fall into the deception just because people engage with us, just because people like us, just because people come to us, we think we are powerful. Sophistication or spiritual powers. You see, sophistication cannot change life. So lives are changed only by the power of God. And that power comes to men and women who are passionate for God. In this particular story, you find that Moses' life was turned around because of the manifested presence of God. You know the story of Moses. Moses was a man of great destiny. When he was born, there was a prophetic word over his life that he is going to be a deliverer of Israel. And he had a privilege of being educated in one of the most sophisticated society during those days. He was brought up in the courts of Pharaoh. He was called the Prince of Egypt. And at the same time, besides that sophistication, he was also influenced greatly by his sister and mother. The Bible says approximately at the age of 40, it came upon his mind. He had a good idea. He remembered what his parents have taught him. He remembered what God has spoken to him. And he decided to serve God. You know the story how he tried to help the people of God. And as a result of that, he got into trouble. And for the next 40 years, he was banished. For the next 40 years, he was completely dissociated. He was completely cut off from the people of God. Moses understood that sophistication and education, all these things, the modern life and technology may make your life easier, may make your life more beautiful. But if you are going to serve God, you need to have an encounter with the presence and the power of God. In fact, he had first-hand experience. After 40 years of being in the wilderness, his life changed again. And his life changed in the book of Exodus chapter 3 when he saw a bush that was burning but was not burned. He saw a supernatural encounter with God. And my prayer is in this retreat, every one of you will experience and encounter God in a fresh way. Can you see a big hallelujah? That's what the retreat is all about. That you may see God, you may hear God, that you may touch God, that God may speak to you, that God may touch you. So at the age of 80, he saw the presence of God. His ministry began to take off. And now he's leading the people of Israel into the promised land. And God said, I will send my angel before you. And what did Moses say? The Bible says, Moses said, I do not want an angel. You see, as far as Moses is concerned, if I'm going to be a great man, if I'm going to have respect, I need more than a symbol of Christianity. I need more than a representative of Christianity. To him, the angel is a symbol of God. To him, the angel may be powerful, may be real. The angel may be the being that God created to worship God 24 hours. But an angel is not God. As far as he's concerned, if I am going to lead your people, I need to have an encounter with the real powerful God. As far as he's concerned, it's more than a song about God. It's more than a song to God. I must touch God through that song, and God must touch me through that song. As far as he is concerned, it's more than a spiritual lift. As far as he's concerned, if I'm going to change life and be changed, I need to touch God, and God need to touch me. That's why he said, you know, you say you are going to be with us, but you are not telling me who is going with us. Although God has said, I will send my angel before you. We have to go beyond symbolism. We have to go beyond representative. We have to encounter God ourselves. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you have encountered God? I didn't ask you when is the last time you worship God, because a lot of people worship God and never encounter God. Have you ever wondered why people can worship God for 1 hour, 15 minutes, get excited, and then leave the service just the same? Oh, sorry. The first 10 minutes after service, they are still very godly and very spiritual. Until, you know, they meet the traffic jam downstairs. Or the waiter come a bit slow, you know, when they order their food. And you know, you see all the manifestation coming out. And by the time somebody, you know, drive a car and scratch their car, then you see the total carnality, you know. And then they are ready for another great experience. God does not only want to give us an experience. God wants to change us, and God can do that permanently. Can you see a big hallelujah? That's why Moses said very clearly in verse 16. He said, how will the people around us know we have found grace in your sight? How will they know that we are unique people? In other words, how would people know that our identity is different? How would people know that we have an authority from God? How do we get that respect from people unless you go with us? And he went on to pray and say, God, show me your glory. You notice he moved from your presence to your glory. This is a picture of a man who wants God more and more. The word presence there is a word that simply means you being with us. The word glory means your presence that is manifested among us. He is not satisfied with just being touched by God's presence. He wants God's presence to be so real, so heavy. The word glory means kabod, which means heaviness. He wants God's presence and glories to be so heavy that it will completely crush us. Crush our carnality. Crush our weaknesses so that God can build us up completely. Can you say a big hallelujah? Sophistication or spiritual powers. The Bible tells us that we are changed by beholding the glory of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Turn with me now to John chapter 6, verse 63. Are you still with me? Say a big amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 6, verse 63. The Gospel of John. Jesus made a very powerful statement there when he said, in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. And the flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak to you are spirit. And they are life. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God is not only interested to bless you. God is interested to change you completely. So that you are a blessed person. Can you see a big hallelujah? God is not only interested to encourage you on Sunday. He wants to do something so permanent in your life that you will never be the same again. And in doing so, the song that you have just sung tonight will become real. The chains are broken. The sin are dealt with. The discouragements are broken. Their faithlessness is destroyed. Sophistication or spiritual power. Let me give you some dangers of having sophistication and yet not experiencing spiritual power as a church. Number one, if you have sophistication in your life, in your church, and don't have spiritual powers, you will have volunteers. You won't have priests. We are all called the royal priesthood. Can you say a big amen? I'm not against that word volunteers. But I draw a distinction here. The power and the strength of a local church is when people see the ministry as a priesthood. A volunteer is different. A volunteer volunteer because he wants to. A volunteer volunteer because the environment is good, because he has the strength, because he can handle the stress. A priest is different. He does it because he's under divine mandate. A priest is different. He sees his ministry as not something that pastor asks him to do. He sees his ministry not as something that he does so that he can feel self-actualization. He sees his ministry not something that he does because he wants to help, but he sees his ministry as a responsibility to respond to his priesthood. And there is the power of a local church. When people see themselves, I am a priest, I will do it because I'm a priest. So irrespective of how I feel, irrespective of what is going around to me, I will do it because I'm under divine mandate to do it. And God will help me to do it. But it takes more than sophistication, right? It takes spiritual powers to serve God in season and out of season, in every circumstances. Another example is when you have sophistication and not spiritual powers. You have musicians, but you don't have psalmist. That's a challenge, my church. I always remind them, you know, we're very good musicians like Trinity. You know, we've got many teams over there. And I always remind them, you know, that it takes more than sophisticated chords and great music to change life. Music is very powerful. Music can cause people to feel good. Great singing and music can really lift people up. But we're in the business of going beyond lifting people up. We're in the business of introducing God. And if God is with us, people need to be touched, because only the touch of God can change people's life. I mean, if all we are doing is just helping people to feel good on Sunday, then I think we have failed. Then we cannot measure ourselves up to what the Bible says, you know, that Jesus Christ changed people. I have been to concerts, I'm sure you have, where 15, 20,000 people, they will jump up and down like grasshoppers because of the music, and people will cry and people will weep, you know, because of great music. But then when they go out of the conference and out of the concert, a few days later, it's the same old story. But we are called to be psalmists. A psalmist who not only play a song to God, not only sing to God. A psalmist play the song that God wants to hear and sing the song that God wants to hear. Can you say a big hallelujah? A psalmist not only play and arrange the best music to bring the best out of a song. A psalmist play the melody of God and force the tempo that comes from heaven. Are you still with me? Hello? Seems very quiet tonight. Are you sure you're still with me? We need more than great musicians. God help us to have great musicians. But we need more than that. Because we are in the business of changing lives, and spiritual powers come upon us when we are psalmists. When we have sophistication and we do not have spiritual powers, we have worship experience instead of glory. In fact, we have so much, we have spiritualized that word experience so much in the last 15 years in the church world. Come for a great worship experience. I myself have said it many, many times until I begin to realize what is happening. And worship is more than an experience. Worship must bring the glory of God, the weight of God's presence, the kabod. And it is the glory that changes people. Can you say a big hallelujah? It's the glory that changes people. But the glory will come when we have more than sophistication. We moved into our building 2 years ago, 2 years. In fact, this is our third year already. And we were preparing for around 2 years before we moved into our own building that we built. And then all the musicians and all the technical people in the church was telling us what they want, what kind of music, what kind of instrument, what kind of sound, everything, you know. If you give them everything they want, you go bankrupt. But nevertheless, you know, that this is what we want, this is what we need. We have a huge hall, huge stage, and so on and so forth, you know. I remember in one of the meetings, I told them, yes, there is nothing money cannot solve. I'll give you everything you want if we have the money. But then I turn around and continue and say, what have we done? Or what are we going to do? What is your plan to increase the intensity of God's glory during the time of worship? Because I told them, great worship experience can draw great crowds, but it is only the glory of God that changes people's life. Can you see a big amen? And I wonder, sometimes when people weep, is it just because the music and the voice is so good? Or whether it is God? after pastoring for 30 years in the same church, I wonder, you know, and sometimes at one point I even became a bit discouraged. I see people so-called touched by God, crying and weeping, you know. But then, after some time, it's back to the same old story. Same old problems. No breakthrough at all. I myself is a worship leader and a musician. And I ask myself, why? Then I begin to realize it's only the glory. Those who have behold His glory are changed by the presence of God. Can you see a big hallelujah? When you have sophistication and not spirit, no spiritual powers, you become seeker sensitive instead of spirit driven. Now, I believe we have to be sensitive to people. I believe we do not need to be stupid. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We have to be sensitive to people. We have to be cultured, you know. And then we have to be nice. But you see, if we do not have spiritual powers, we are controlled by man's preferences. We are controlled by the power of culture. We are controlled by environmental, relational factors. But when we are full of power, we become spirit-driven. Can you see a big amen? I always tell myself, when Jesus came, people don't have problem with Jesus. And He is spirit-driven, except the religious ones, you know. Except those who have the sophistication of religiosity. During the time of Jesus, the Sadducees and the Pharisees are very sophisticated as far as a Jewish worship is concerned. You talk about the worship of Jehovah God, they have hundreds of years of tradition. And they have the Old Testament to give them the parameters and in many ways the details of what must be done when you go into the presence of Jehovah God. But they could not change lives. And they could not change life until God Himself came, Jesus, and He was full of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus Christ came, who was the one who went after Jesus? Who was the one who ultimately crucified Jesus? It was those people who have religious sophistication. Have you heard of this before? Maybe not in Hong Kong, I don't know. There will be people who will come into the church and say, I've been a Christian for a long, long time, you know. My favorite answer is, so what? You know. Or I'll say, is it? I remember when I became general superintendent, Pastor Dom is a superintendent in Singapore. When I became the superintendent in Malaysia, you know, I've got people who come to me and say, oh, you know, I've been a general superintendent for a long, long time. I remember once I say, really? Really? I was a bit sarcastic, but I was making a statement. Really? If I was naughty enough, I would say, so? And those people are very experienced. Have you heard of people before? You need the word. Have you heard of that before? You need a word. People will say things like, I've seen great men and great women come and go. I'm very discerning. A lot of people have religious sophistication. But they have no power to change lives. You know why? Because they do not have spiritual powers. Amen. If you forget everything I say tonight, just remember that you need spiritual powers. Your question tonight at this point may be, do I have spiritual powers? Now, if you are asking that question, there is a very high likelihood you do not have it. Electricity, do not ask, am I electrifying? How many of you know what I'm talking about? A person who is happily married will not ask, no, am I married? Are you with me? If you're asking tonight, wow, very deep, you don't have it. Sophistication or spiritual powers. The Bible says when people look at Jesus, they say, wow, Behold the Lamb of God. In today's vernacular, they will probably say, I say amen. Fantastic. Who said that? The person is John the Baptist, whom Jesus said is the greatest of all prophets. When that great prophet saw Jesus, he said, Ayo! My God, behold the Lamb of God. He was that charismatic. He was that powerful. He was that full of glory. People followed him because he has the glory and he has spiritual powers in his life. Now I want to end by sharing with you practically two ways for you to develop spiritual powers in your life. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, please. We will have all the time in the retreat to build on all this, but very quickly, the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. How can we develop that spiritual power and go beyond sophistication? Verse 27. Looking at verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable? He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no mind, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Two practical keys to develop God's presence and power in your life. Both of these keys have to do with one word. The word is deliberateness. Deliberateness. Number one, you need to deliberately move towards intimacy. Say with me, deliberately. Say it again, deliberately. The word deliberate simply means take a focused effort. You see, a lot of people today take their spiritual life in a very casual manner. We plan for our career, we plan for our family, we plan for our meals. But do we ever plan for our spiritual development? We plan for our holidays. Do we plan to go to church on Sunday? We prep ourselves for our work. We prep ourselves for our vacation. We prep ourselves for everything that we do and which is required and is good. But do we actually prep ourselves for a spiritual encounter with God? I always tell my own church that when you come to church on Sunday, you are coming to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So you should not come late to church, for example. Do you prep yourself to come to church? Because the Bible says, number one, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Only those who wait upon the Lord. And in other words, if you do not wait upon the Lord, you do not. The word wait here is the word kawa, which means to bind together and to be twisted together. And in other words, you literally wrap yourself around God. It's not like putting on a cardigan upon your shoulder, at the back of your shoulder, but you literally put on that entire cloth around your body. You actually prepare yourself and dress yourself proactively, deliberately to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is those who wait upon the Lord that will renew their strength. What the Bible is also saying is this. The young people, you may be sophisticated, you may be strong, but you shall faint and utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What the Bible is telling us is very clear, that we will have our limitation physically. Even the young people, sooner or later, will feel weak. I was just talking to Sister Ching Yin, another Hainanese lady, good friend. Pastor Dom's wife, we were talking about, she was asking me about my health, how I'm doing and things like that. I said, good, but a bit tired. Then she said, don't forget, now you are no more 35 years old. I said, therein lies the trouble. I went to see a doc recently, and he said, there's nothing wrong with you. But my suspicion is, he said, now, you have been working as hard today as you worked 15 years ago. I said, yes. And then he said, that's your problem. You forgot that 15 years later, you're 15 years older. When we get older, we change our lifestyle. We realize the limitation of a body. You may go to the gym, you may have good nutrition, but that is not enough to sustain you for the long run. It's not enough for you to continue to do and be whom God wants you to be and to do what God wants you to do. But they that deliberately take the effort to wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. And in other words, you will experience supernatural powers. All the same. And in other words, you will not be hemmed. You will not be limited by the natural capacity and limitation. You can live beyond your natural ability and your natural limitations. But it means that you and I have to deliberately move towards intimacy. You and I cannot have a casual attitude towards our spiritual life. Thank God for the number of you going for retreat. You have taken an effort, and your pastor has spoken so well today and say, please remember your passport. You know, believe me, he's right. There'll be people who will forget if they do not deliberately remember. Are you with me? Especially when you're going across the border, just across the border of China. In fact, I nearly forgot about my visa. I only got it the day before I came. Because I was telling myself, I'm going to Hong Kong, I'm going to China, they are one nation, or so on. Then suddenly in the middle of the night, I really, oh my God, I need a visa. My secretary also forgot. She has to repent. No. She's fantastic. Pastor Dom know her very well. Esther, you know, she's the best. Any pastor should envy me for having her as my secretary, you know. But there must not be a casual attitude. It speaks about a determination. There must be a determination to touch the presence of God. It speaks about a consistency. It speaks about active participation. Very often we just come in and we tell God, God, I'm here. Take me. Do what you want. God is not a devil. He wants to work with you. Can you say a big amen? He wants to walk with you. He will not possess you and make you into a spiritual puppet. Hallelujah. He wants to possess as much of you as you are willing to submit to him. He's not a devil. Yeah, God can't help me. Wherever he goes, people are blessed. But if you want to go beyond being blessed, if you want your life to change, your marriage and your career to change permanently, distinctively, clearly, then you must go beyond a casual attitude towards the presence of God, towards a spiritual life. There must be a deliberateness. Those who wait upon the Lord deliberately move towards intimacy. And everybody said, and number two, you must deliberately depend on the Holy Spirit. Deliberately depend on the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The word here is the word shall renew their strength. The word renew is the word exchange. Exchange. A divine exchange. Divine exchange, you know. You see, our basic human attitude in church, I don't know about here, maybe in Solomon Porch is different. You guys must be fantastic, but at least in Metro, okay? The basic attitude is we'll try everything we can humanly and then leave the Holy Spirit dependence to chance. Cannot work already, God help me. What to do? I've always got support behind me if I fail. That's a basic attitude of a lot of Christian that I know in my church and in Malaysia. I hope Hong Kong is different. And that should not be our attitude. The Bible says, you know, there must be a deliberate dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The eagle, he gave the example of an eagle. The eagle will perch at the edge of a high mountain and he will wait for the hot draught to rise up. And then the eagle will just jump upon the hot drought spread its wing and allow the hot drought to take it higher and higher and higher. It was not the flapping of an eagle that caused the eagle to go higher and higher. The eagle just used its wing to maneuver direction. Have you ever seen? What's the difference between an eagle and a chicken? Both are birds, right? Have you ever seen a chicken trying to fly? I have. Mom used to have a lot of chicken at home. The chicken will make a lot of noise, flap very hard, and at most go 2 feet and crash land again. That's it. An eagle is different. He will wait, or she will wait, and sense the hot draft coming, and just jump into the hot draft, spread his wings, and let the hot draft live in higher and higher and higher and higher, and he will use his wings to maneuver the direction. And the speed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There must be a deliberate effort. I like the team pastor of the church to pray. The emphasis on prayer. Prayer is one of the most powerful ways for us to deliberately exchange our strength for the strength of the Holy Spirit. We should not be praying only when we're in trouble. We should be praying in good times so that we can have God's time. Can you see a big hallelujah? If you think you are in a good time right now in your career, in your family, and if you don't pray, you have just shot yourself in your feet, you know. Because God's will is not a good time. God's will is a God's time. It's a glorious time. Can you see a big hallelujah? If you want your very best, if you want to be at your best and be at the top, then prayer and worship, spiritual discipline is not something that you should leave to chance. It should be something that you do and plan. Just as you plan for your 3 meals, you plan to pray. I do not mean giving thanks for the food. Christians usually pray at least 3 times a day. The Muslim in Malaysia pray 5 times a day. I don't know about them, whether they mean it or not, but we really mean it, you know, when we say, thank you, Lord, for the food. But that's not what I'm talking about. It is the prayer that say, Lord, I cannot do it on my own. It's a prayer that say, Lord, I am blessed because of what I have and endowed with. But I want to be blessed by what you have planned for me. Can you see a big hallelujah? And it's not by might. It is not by power, but by my spirit. Can you say a big amen? Sophistication. Of spiritual powers. In this retreat, I'm not going to teach you about sophistication because sophistication is part of life. You are going to be more sophisticated whether you like it or not. I asked my daughter, Andrea, last year, December, what do you want? She's 13 years old at that time. What do you want for your birthday? When I was 13 years old, when daddy asked me, what do I want for my birthday? I'll be thinking of a toy or something like that, you know. She said, I want iPad 3. I said, what? I haven't got mine yet, you know, at that time. I look at mom, and mom said, why are you looking at me? She's not living in your father's generation. Her generation is normal. And before I came here, I said, Andrea, what can I get you? Get me an iPhone. I said, what? And daddy, I want the latest one, 5. She's only 14 years old recently. I'm not going to spiritualize it. There's nothing wrong. Just have to live with it. Just live with it. That's it. Simple as that. But is that spiritual powers? No. The church is in the business of changing lives. Am I right? Jesus came to change lives. He did not only come to make our life better. He comes to make our life glorious. He came to give an abundant life. And you will never know that abundant life. You will never know the God will life for you. Unless you are willing to deliberately pay attention towards intimacy and deliberately, you know, depend on the Holy Spirit. I'll close with this illustration. Recently, I came in a bit early during my on a Sunday morning service. I was there and I was watching for a little while. So I decided to join them for prayer. The musicians. And I went down there. I went up there. And we all around. And I said, okay. All right, today is different. I want every one of you. We got a 9-piece band. Every one of you to pray. Half a minute, simple prayer. So I waited. Only one or two of them pray. And they are the worship leaders and the main worship leader. And I asked the rest, can't you all pray? You look at me, you know, as if I'm from outer space. Later on, I talked to one of them and asked him, hey, why is it that you, when I ask you guys to pray, only the worship leader and the main musician pray. Why didn't you pray? And he said, honestly, I'm not used to it, Pastor. Oh, you're not used to praying. You know why you're not used to praying? Because you have not been deliberately praying. A lot of us are used to talking. We can talk all the time. So we are used to talking. We are used to thinking our own ways. We are used to expressing our own opinions. We are used to sharing our experiences. But if we are to change life, we have to be able to share the revelations of God, the wisdom of God, the thoughts of God, the plans of God. And it is not rocket science. You can only do it if you have deliberately done it consistently. Can you say a big hallelujah? Some of us say, I can't pray because you have never been praying. I've never heard a person say, I can't talk. Because you've been talking all the time. It's not rocket science. We are living in a time where the world is changing. But God does not change. Can you say a big hallelujah? The demands is going to be greater. Don't you think so? If you think the pressure of work today is heavy, wait until next year. Wait until next year. Let me repeat it again. If you think the pressure today is heavy, wait until next year. The demands will be greater. The challenges will be harder. You think today it's hard to live a Christian life and lead a family life and be happy. It's going to be even harder. Don't listen to the politician. Listen to the word of God. The Bible says in the last day, deep darkness will cover the earth, but the glory of God will rise upon you. Can you say a big amen? The key is the glory of God. It's the presence of God. It's not only going to be greater and harder. The price of failure is going to be higher. If you think you can't afford to fail today, I guarantee you, you really can't afford to fail next year. The whole world is changing, amen. Our hope is the glory and the presence of God. And so I want to challenge you tonight to commit yourself at the very beginning of this retreat and say to the Lord, Lord, I will deliberately, in other words, I will take effort towards intimacy with God. I will take effort. I will plan towards it. I will prepare myself towards it. I will position myself towards it. And you've already taken the first step. You're here tonight. And you're going to be at the retreat. I challenge you to go beyond that, to deliberately depend on the Holy Spirit. How do you depend on the Holy Spirit? The key is to be willing to pray. Amen. When you pray to God, you're saying, I depend upon you, God. And usually we don't pray because we don't think we need to depend upon God, you know. Until we need to depend upon God. But I encourage you to deliberately pray. Whether you feel you depend upon God or not, pray to God and say, God, I need you. God, I want you to change my family. I want you to change my career, my life and my ministry. And then you will see a level of anointing that you have never seen before. And I want to guarantee you, if you do that, you will go beyond being in a great nation, in a great city that is sophisticated. You will experience spiritual powers. And then the end result of that will be a changed life. That irrespective of how demanding, irrespective of how difficult, irrespective of how great the price may be for the future, you will live the God-given life because the glory of God will come upon you. And there is no darkness that can ever diminish the glory and the power of God. Can you say a big amen? And if that's your desire, stand up to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Stand up to your feet. If your desire is to go beyond sophistication to spiritual powers, I want you to quickly walk out of your seat and come to the front right now. Get out of your seat and come to the front. If you are saying, oh God, I thank you for this life. It's sophisticated, but I want more than that. I want spiritual power. Come right now. Come right now. Come, musician, come too. We're going to dedicate ourselves to God tonight. We're going to tell God, God, thank you for the life you've given to me, but I need more than that. Take one step further ahead, those of you in front, so the others can follow you. Come as far as you can. Come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Musician, come. I want Pastor Dom and Pastor Samuel to join me on the stage. We're going to pray for you in a little while. Hula bashi karama san. You come right now. Come right now. Hallelujah. Play a song. Ukoroma shanda. Come right now. Hallelujah. And you come, I want you to look up to heaven. Close your eyes. Lift up your hands to God. Come on, church. It is God. Let's begin to wait upon the Lord tonight. Let's begin to deliberately take that step. Hallelujah. We praise your name. You can feel the presence of God. I can feel the glory of God in this place. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Come right now. Just lift up your hands to God. People are still walking. Get out of your seat. Irrespective of where you are, stand up and try your best to walk to the front. That is a deliberate step you're going to take tonight. Stand up. If you cannot, move right to the front. Get into the aisles because you are showing to God, God, more than sophistication, I want a life-changing spiritual power. Deliberately right now. We praise you. And as you come, lift up your hands and begin to open your mouth and begin to praise God. Hallelujah. We praise your name. Lord, move in the name of Jesus. You can feel the glory of God. He said, I'm a kuriem, but I'm a praise your name. Just right, just lift up your hands to God. Father, we release the presence of God right now. We release the glory of God upon this people right now. Oh, per se, we worship you, Lord. That's right, just lift up your hands. Lord, we release spiritual powers in the name of Jesus. We bless your name. Deliberately stretch out to God. Stretch out your hands to heaven. Lord, release your presence. Release your power. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Fill me with your powers.
Fill me with your power.
Yes, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, increase that hunger. Increase that hunger, oh God. Lord, stir up your hearts, oh God.
Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Come, Holy Spirit.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Fall afresh on me. lift your hands to heaven. Begin to press in. Because by lifting up your hands this evening, you're saying, Lord, I'm surrendering myself. By the lifting of your hands, you're saying, God, I'm depending on you. By stepping out to the front, by stepping out into the aisles, you're saying, God, I want to move towards intimacy with you. Yes, Lord, while sophistication is fine, but Lord, tonight I want to touch you. Because Lord, tonight I want to touch you to receive spiritual power in my life. Father, I want to thank you for every man and every woman. We pray, Father, right now, that the power of the Holy Spirit will be released right now. I call forth an open heaven over their lives. Father, in this place, as men and women stretch out to you, let them touch you tonight. Let there be a fresh encounter with you that will radically transform their lives. Father, we are frustrated with the same old of our lives today. Lord, we realize that we can be sophisticated, lacking true spiritual power. And tonight, Lord, we have come deliberately before you, saying, Lord, we are laying our lives down. We are laying our education down. We are laying down our achievement. Lord, we are standing before you naked to say, Spirit of God, we want you. We want more of you. And so, Father, right now, let a holy hunger, a holy thirsting come upon every man and woman. Cause such a great desire for you. And so, Father, tonight, let there be such a consuming aggression in our life to say we want more of you. We want to touch you, oh God. Lord, tonight we are saying, if we do not touch you, we will not leave this place. If we do not see your glory, we will not go from here, oh God. And so, Lord, tonight, let a divine encounter take place. Beginning right now, let this moment be a moment for the rest of our lives. Oh God, come right now. Take a hold of every life, Spirit of God. Oh God, we come before you tonight. We repent for our sophistication. We repent for our lack of prayer in our lives. We repent, Lord, because we have been so consumed by things around us. We have been so consumed by the issues of life. And Father, tonight, we realize that the crux of life begins in you and with you. And so, Spirit of God, we repent before you. And now, God, take a hold of our lives. Oh, Spirit of God, we lay our lives on the altar of the Holy Spirit. And we ask, Spirit of God, tonight, oh, let your grace and mercy come upon us. Lord, in those moments of weakness and weariness and tiredness, release the divine strength. I pray for every man and woman that is feeling tired. Lord, it seems that this past week we have been so tired and we don't understand why we have been so tired. And so, Father, tonight let an infusion of strength and power from heaven come upon every man and woman. I thank you, oh God, right now. I thank you, Spirit of God, that you are stretching out your hands. And I see a hand of the Lord stretch out from heaven. I see the Lord's hand touching you. I see a hand holding a vial of oil. And this vial of oil is right now being poured over you as the Lord touches you. It's being poured on you. Oh God, release a fuller anointing in this place. Release a fuller anointing, oh God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord's touching some of you in a very special way. As the oil is poured upon you, God is anointing you with a sense of newness. Father, thank you. Thank you for newness. So, Father, thank you for that which you accomplish throughout the course of this camp. Let this retreat bring great transformation. And Father, may this message be etched in the inner recesses of our being, that it will convict us, that it will cause us no rest until we come into your presence, until we pursue after your glory. And so I thank you tonight. I praise you in Jesus' name.
Let's just keep praying a little bit. You know, Pastor Ong was talking about sophistication. I just kept thinking of just this fear of man. Can you repeat this after me if you believe this in your heart? Say, Lord, I don't care what anyone thinks about me. Go ahead, you say that right now. I don't care if the person next to me thinks I'm weird. I'm going to go after God. Nothing is going to get in my way. I don't care if snot is running down my nose. Lord, I'm going to go after God. Thank you. Father, we just cut off the fear of man, God. Lord, we just cut off this attitude, God, of I need to be cool. I need to be accepted, Lord. We just cut that off, God. And we say we just want you and you alone. Whatever it is in our hearts, Lord, God, that doesn't come to that conclusion, God, we want to put away right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, God. It's going to be our attitude, God, that determines our altitude, Lord. It's going to be our attitude that determines how close we get to go be with you, God. And so right now, Lord, just begin to move upon my attitude, God. Move on our hearts right now. If you sense that, if you sense God just touching your attitudes right now, just ask God to continue to change your heart. But I worry too much what other people think, God. I worry too much about how I present myself to the world. God, change my attitude, Lord. I just want you. Just begin to pray that all over this place right now. It's just you and God. No one else is here except you and God. Just give yourself to the Lord in prayer right now. Just like you're at home in your own prayer closet. It's just you and Jesus. No one else but you and Jesus right now. And you start giving me your heart right now. It's just you and me here now, God. Just you and me here right now.
One of the things that Moses said at the very beginning is, how will they know that we have found grace in your sight? I sense tonight there are people sending you, you are still struggling a little bit to reach out to God's power because there is a sense of unworthiness. There is a sense of guilt and condemnation. I want you to know that's all the enemy, and we break it in the name of Jesus. The power of God is reachable. Receive it right now because it comes upon you because of God's grace upon your life. Just reach out to God, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break it right now. I break that guilt, that sense of unworthiness in the name of Jesus. I break that spirit of condemnation in the name of Jesus. I release the power of God. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. I release the glory of God. I loose the spiritual gifts of God. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Only you can be.
Only you can make me whole. Give me strength and make me whole.
That's on your heart, whatever that's pressing in your heart right now, just take it to Jesus. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. Just keep giving your heart to the Lord. And I encourage you to grab someone around you. Just look around, and we're all partners in this journey together. And I'm so excited. We get to spend the next 4 days together to really grow and to learn and be crushed by the Word of God and by His presence. That all the carnality in us would just literally disappear as we draw closer to the Lord. Can I encourage you to pray for someone, the person next, right and left of you? Let's really pray. Not any of those Sunday, I got a lunch appointment coming up prayer. I'm talking about like now my life depends on a right now kind of prayer. And just pray for the person on the left and right of you. Let's pray that they would just be opened up to the fullness of God in their life. That person next to you would receive everything they need to succeed. You may not know what's going on next to that person, but God does. And He wants to use you. He wants to build friendships and friendships that's going to last a lifetime. And so let's lift each other up before God and let's ask God to move upon us. Pray every obstacle be placed out of the way. Every worry that we have about the week, work, life, put on the burner for God to move in our lives. Let's lift each other up before God right now. Thank you, God.
Pour it out, your spirit on me. Pour it. pour it out, Lord. Pour it out, Lord. Pour it out, your spirit of pour it out. Pour it out.
We pray, God, that you would just continue to make us deliberate, God. Lord, the kingdom of God is taken over by men of violent force. And I pray, God, that we'd have that same kind of attitude, Lord, that we would apprehend the kingdom, Lord, and that we would go after it, God. Or no longer this casualness, Lord. No longer this attitude of being cool and being acceptable, God. Or we want to be like David, Lord, that dances around as the glory of God comes in. And people may despise him, God. And he says, well, I'll be even more undignified than this. But I pray that you'd give us that kind of heart, God. That we don't care about anything else except for you and you alone. And Lord, let the beginning of this retreat, God, be the anthem of that, Lord. That we just want you, God. Nothing else. No one else, Lord. We care about nothing except Christ and him crucified. And so as you lead us and guide us, God, we thank you for the word of God today. Lord, just burn it, seal it in our hearts, Lord. Forgive us, God, that we've been so concerned about the way that we look to the world, the way that we look to others on the outside, God, and we don't cultivate what's going on the inside, the inner man that's being renewed day by day. Change us, God. Let this be the beginning of this journey, and we thank you that we get to take this journey together as a family of God. Every single one of us, brothers and sisters, the blood of Jesus, thicker than our family blood. The blood of Jesus, thicker than our national blood, God. And I thank you that your blood unites us, Lord. And so lead us and guide us, God, the next few days. We bless you, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug your neighbor, friends. Amen. Thanks for praying for me. I felt the presence of God. Get a good night's sleep tonight. And just be prepared to meet with the Lord the rest of this week. Bless you guys. Thank you, Pastor Ong.